The earthquake in China has damaged countless power plants and transmission lines, which means the country should be consuming less energy in the coming weeks and months. But don't expect the trend to last. Energy analyst and author Michael Clare says China's appetite for energy is ravenous. And he says it's just one source of stress on the world's overburdened energy markets. In his new book, Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet, The New Geopolitics of Energy, Clare argues that the scramble for energy is creating a new global ranking of haves and have-nots.
We've reached a point where the industry is no longer capable of satisfying rising world demand, and I don't think it ever will be, at least not for the foreseeable future. So those few countries, and it's really just a handful of countries that have a surplus of energy, enough to satisfy their own needs and export a surplus to other countries, are in a very privileged, powerful position. And most of the rest of the countries of the world, including the United States and China, Europe and Japan, are supplicants. We have to go to those few that do have a surplus and beg for what they have and pay a premium, a very high premium, as we're seeing every day at the gas pump.
Okay, so you say these are the rising powers because of their energy capabilities. Which countries are you talking about?
Well, there are two kinds of rising powers, really. There are those like Russia that have such a surplus of energy that they're in a very powerful position in the world. Others are Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, that are suddenly entering the energy market. But there are the other rising powers, China and India, whose economies are so strong that they've become very competitive bidders in the world energy market. And their currencies are strong compared to ours, and so we find ourselves at an extreme disadvantage in the marketplace.
How does this affect international dynamics? Who becomes your friend and who you can afford to have as your enemy?
Well, this is part of a new structuring of world power, world economic and energy power that's taking place. On one hand, the energy have powers like Russia, Iran, Venezuela, and the others are trying to strengthen their grip on the control of world energy. They're forming strategic alliances with one another. You have, for example, the efforts of Russia, Iran, and the Central Asian countries are talking about creating a natural gas OPEC like the existing petroleum OPEC countries, which would give them more leverage in the marketplace. On the other hand, you have the efforts of countries like China and India to use their own state-owned oil companies to forge strategic alliances with supplier countries like Russia or Saudi Arabia to bypass the Western oil companies like ExxonMobil and Shell and BP that historically have dominated the marketplace, to push them aside and develop their own conduits for the supply of oil. So there's a whole new networks forming that are reshaping the world energy marketplace.
You write about China's increasingly ravenous appetite for energy and how it's likely to turn to the one energy source that it has in abundance, that being coal. In fact, you say that everybody on the planet might one day be held hostage to China's use of coal. Sounds fairly alarmist. What gives you the evidence to say that?
Well, China relies on coal for about 70% of its energy input, 65 to 70%. And all of the indications are that China will continue to rely on coal. Unfortunately, they're not even using the most advanced coal technology in burning this commodity. They're using the kind of coal plants that we built in this country 40, 50 years ago in the American Midwest and in the Northeast, the kinds that produce acid rain, that produce a lot of pollution, and that spew out a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere.
Well, you mentioned in the book ways that China and the United States can collaborate on the development of alternative fuels and energy-saving technologies. What would it take for that to happen? And is any of it happening right now?
There's certainly a lot of talk about cooperation with China, and there's a lot of talk about the new kinds of technology that might be adopted. It will be costly. There's no question about it. And that's why I say the U.S. and China should work together to share the costs and the burdens of developing this new technology. It's going to cost a lot of money, and we really have to start making that investment.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking to us about your book, Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet, The New Geopolitics of Energy. Michael Clare directs the five-college program in Peace and World Security Studies at Hampshire College in Amherst. Nice to speak with you.
My pleasure.